We're having going to have a special service today. It's going to be abbreviated a little bit, but we welcome you today, you that are live streaming and you that are here today. We're going to entertain and going to enter into worship this morning with Yeshua. So we ask you just to join us this morning. The service will be a rebroadcast of the fear about the COVID-19 and faith in God. So that's increasing. All this illness is increasing in the Bristol area and the Tri-Cities. And hopefully where you're at today that it's not increasing but going the other direction. So this morning we're going to be playing a set of liturgy that will take us up to the drosh that we're going to have. So they're going to play the video this morning now. Thank you.
Thank you for this service. We put it in your hands. We've never done this before with just so few people, but we're going to do it today. Isaac, if you'll turn the bass up just a hair, not on me, but on the sound on the live stream, because I couldn't hear it on the live stream. Just to tweak it just a little bit on the live stream, okay? All right.
Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Vesimcha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Vesimcha, Ora Vesimcha, Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Vesimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha.
Hey, hallelujah.
This day for Israel. This day for Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy, filled with light and joy. A Sabbath of his rest. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy, a Sabbath of his rest. A Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. Let's just bless the Messiah, Yeshua.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua.
Matovu, O Aleha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha
Go.
Answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is Reverend Don, and we are live streaming from our synagogue to you today, and Facebook Live. So we're glad you're with us. Isaac, can you check the Facebook pictures from your phone just to make sure they're focused good, if you would? We're going to continue with the Vishamru. Okay, and page 45 in your Siddur, so just kidding. But I'm going to do it for you, okay? Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dot ha-berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dot ha-berit olam. Bnei bnei Yisrael, bnei Yisrael, oti le'olam. Vishamru bnei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dot ha-berit olam. Kisheshet yamim asha Adonai, eshamayim ve'aretz, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. V'yomar shabbat inafash, Shabbat v'nafash, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city, our God. We pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love her shall prosper. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we lift up Jerusalem. We lift up the holy city. We pray, shalom, Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. We pray for the shalom, and that means the fullness of the Messiah in each heart, that the Messiah would come and bring peace to each heart of every person in Jerusalem and Kol Yisrael, all Israel. And we pray, Lord, that you would just deliver Israel from this virus that's going on there, and that you would set the people free from their quarantine. And we pray that you would open their eyes, that you would use this test they're going through, as we're praying here as well in the United States, for God to use this test to bring people to you, to dust off those Bibles and to ask you, God, come into my life and deliver me, and to ask who Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, to ask who he is and what he has to do with it. And we pray that you remove the scales from your people Israel, from their eyes, in the name of Yeshua. We pray for the rabbis today as they lead their services online. We just pray for them and bless them with health, bless them with prosper them, Lord. Help them through these tough times. Meet their needs, Lord. Meet their congregational needs, healing, and just give them anointed messages to bring to the people today, Lord. Bless our leadership with vision in these times, Lord. Our messianic leadership with vision and direction, and lead us in paths of righteousness. Give us the spirit of Eliakim and remove the spirit of Shebna, we pray. And Lord, I pray for our president, Donald J. Trump, and the task force that is leading this virus response, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you give them great Solomonic wisdom to guide us and lead us through, and that they would, you're never going to please everybody, but pray that they would, that the response of our governing authorities, Romans 13 says, obey the governing authorities, for they are a minister of justice. They're a minister to you of good, it says. They're a minister of good to those who do good. Romans 13 says, obey the governing authorities. That means listen to the governing authorities and obey them. Now, not if they tell you to jump off a bridge or jump off a building, don't do it. But if it's biblical what they're asking, in other words, don't gather in groups of 10 or more, that's not a horrible thing. I mean, it's not great, but, you know, it's not anti-biblical. Obey them, and you'll be in the will of God. And if you obey them, it says if you don't obey them, they are a minister of the sword to bring justice, to bring wrath to you. You don't want that. So read Romans 13. But here's the deal, guys. If you're in God's will and you're obeying the governing authorities, you will be dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, and you will be under the shadow of the Almighty. You have, in order to dwell in the shelter of the Most High and to be under the shadow of the Almighty and have his protection, you have to be in his will. You have to be in his will. And it's so easy. Just follow Romans 13. It's really that simple. Obey the governing authorities. God bless you, and thank you for listening for this prayer. In Yeshua's name, we're going to continue on now with Servant of the Lord. Would you like to read it, Don?
Sure. This is Isaiah 49:6, and it's really the calling of the Jewish people. And The Messianic community is a fulfillment of the remnant of Israel, and we have the calling of the Jewish people on us. We're carrying that calling forth, and this is Isaiah 49:6. And now the Lord says, "He who formed Israel in the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him, and gather Israel to Himself, for He is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been His strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel He has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that He may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth."
Amen.
Amen. It is a calling of the Jewish people to be a light to the Gentiles and to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And we're still doing that as a people, right? And those of us,
the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Romans 11:29, I believe.
So the Jewish people who know the Lord, we have that higher calling. We have the highest calling of that calling in of itself, is to bring the salvation to the world. And there's still salvation to be brought. Amen? And Rabbi teaches on that. So we wait, because he's got a word from the Lord. We want to hear it.
Okay, what are we doing now?
Hallelujah. This is Amidah, and it's a traditional liturgy. I'm singing it in English. It's the fifth part of the Amidah in English.
Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people, Israel, and accept their prayer. Restore the worship of Israel to your sanctuary, and lovingly and favorably receive their bread and offerings. May the service of your people, Israel, always be acceptable to you. Let us see your return in mercy to Zion. O deserving of all praise are you, O Lord, who restores your divine presence to Zion.
Please rise for the Shema.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed is the name of His glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house, and upon your gates.
Okay, Shabbat Shalom. The service is a little different today because we have sort of an abbreviated service this morning, and we'll tell you a bit more about it. But even though, you know, it with this virus and everything that's going on, everything's sort of changed a little bit, but God is still here, and we're here to worship Him this morning. So don't worry about the scheduling or changes here this morning, because God is in control, and we're going to follow His leadership and get through this today and have a wonderful Shabbat. So this morning we're going to go to the drosh this morning. I'll go ahead and do the aliyah call, and it'll be just a little different. Yamod Asher ben Zedekiah, Barku Adonai Hamvarah, Baruch Adonai Hamvarah Leoam Vaed, Baruch Adonai Hamvarah Leoam Vaed, Baruch Atah Adonai Elohein Yumelech Haolam, Asher Bapakana Miko Adamin, Netnatan Lanu et Torto, Baruch Atah Adonai, Notain my Torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blesses the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us your Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Okay, we'll do the drosh this morning. It's a double portion, and it is the last parsha from the book of Numbers. You know, we're moving closer to the high holy days. We're almost into August, and usually around August we start thinking about the month of September. In the holy days that'll be coming up, we'll be planning for those in the coming weeks, and hopefully this virus will move away, and we can a lot more folks can get in, and they can still live stream. So we're going to be providing that. But today, today's Torah portion is a double portion. It is from Numbers 30 through 36, and it's called Matot, which means tribes, and in Masai, which means stages. You know, a lot of people, when you think about people, you think about their character and the traits that make them the type of person that they are. A lot of people think about strength and firmness, and a lot of times that invokes some type of a mixed reaction or response, because everyone thinks about this from a personal responsibility and looking at it that, you know. However, a strong person can also be thought of as a very rigid or insensitive person, because this morning today, as we see, we talk about the tribes, and it's talking about the 12 tribes of Israel that are coming out of Passover into, and they're moving toward the Promised Land. So we see that some people think that people, because they are a very strong person, are very rigid, maybe they're very insensitive, and maybe they cling to their beliefs or what they think about very stubbornly as their views, and they're not bending to the consideration of other people. But flexibility and unfailing firmness reflect in these two Torah portions today. It refers to the tribes of Israel and the Jewish people as they move forward from Passover to the next Passover. You know, that's one of the things about this that made me think about today. You know, they left on Passover, and when Yeshua left, he said that he would not drink the new cup until we would do it again in you. And that means it's another Passover or another visit from the Yeshua, that we'll have the meal and the wine that we would drink on that day. So it's another day is coming down the road for us. You see, the leader of each tribe was distinguished by the staff of their leadership that identified who they were and what they stood for. You see, a staff is a little different than a rod. These leaders carried a staff upon them rather than the rod. You know, the rod will bend. A rod moves, but the staff is firm and unyielding. You see, the staffs were cut from very firm trees, and they were harvested, and they were kept for a very long time to dry out very good, and they have become very dry, very hard, and very firm. They did not bend, and that was to symbolize the strength, because you had millions of people that were following, and so the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel had to be very firm and very straightforward in the way that they conducted their business with all these people that were traveling with them to the promised land. You see, strength is reflected today because it's a mitzvah really that pertains to a vow. You see, a vow represents the power of our words. When we make a vow, we're expressing the power of our words that we're going to do something. It's our intentions. You see, a vow tells us that we are taking something upon ourselves that we are going to do, that it's going to be something that we're going to do. Our words are important. They reflect and represent our character. God made a vow, and it was also a covenant with Abraham, and he told Abraham, he said, your ancestors will enter into the promised land, and there they shall be. And you know, that promise is still in existence today, because God's promise, his vow to the Jewish people, has not been passed. No matter what government changes or creates a law or a bill, whatever, we can't change it, because God's word is irrevocable, and he is saying that the Jewish people, as he promised Abraham and his descendants, will one day inherit the land of Israel, and they're moving toward that today. You see, God tells us, God also gives us about 1,000 men that were from each tribe, and they were to kill all the male Midianites that were killing along with Balaam. There's a specific mitzvah in the scriptures that's in Deuteronomy chapter 25 that's concerning the person named Amalek, and that is a group of people. And God has given us a specific commandment. It's a vow, really, that's in the book of Deuteronomy. It begins with chapter 25 around verse number 17. But God is saying to destroy and remove all trace, and that's to remove the evil that's actually in our land today. We're very consumed with evil. It's consuming everything. It's all people talk about is the virus and the violence that's going on in the world today. But it's a sign of the times, and it's what Yeshua said. There will be a great falling away, and there will be a great time of troubleness and of worrisome that's going in the world today. So we're seeing, as we're moving forward, that God's word is being fulfilled. And then the second passage of this Torah portion this morning is Masay, and it's about the journeys and the stops from the land of Israel. You know, they left on Passover, and then one day we shall return back, and we will observe again, as I said earlier, another Passover. So that's coming. That's down the road, and Yeshua will preside over that Passover, and we all shall eat that are believers. You see, when the Israelites were in Egypt, they were confined. They were not able to go to the land that God had promised them, the land of milk and honey, and it was a spacious land. But God took them out of Egypt with Passover, and they went through the desert and through all of that, and God made them journey through camps, and there was 42 camps that the Israelites strayed through. Each camp was a form of a exodus from Egypt as they went through. There's 42 encampments, and that they didn't move every day, because they traveled after they traveled to the promised land, and they went in with the spies. They traveled 2 years to that, and then God said, "For the 40 days that you stayed in the land, looking around and trying to decide if you wanted to take it over, you were journeying an additional 40 years. And everyone but Caleb and I forgot the other guy's name, sorry, Joshua. You have to bear with me. I had a stroke, and I'm still not a 200%. I'm way off. I'm still having a lot of trouble. But, you know, each stage was an exodus for the Israelites. You see, the Torah is eternal. It's our heritage. God's word is our heritage. And we each of us must pass through our own Egypt, because we are confined in this secular world, and it's here that God has placed us, and one day we will move from this world into the heavenly world. You see, the Torah is prayer. It also includes prayer. You see, the Torah is God's word to man, and prayer is man's word to God. You see, our life is just like Israel, the journey that they took. And it's, you know, when I was studying the Torah this week, I realized that with gematria, that Jacob's ladder has the same gematria number of 100. I think it's 120, 130, as does the I'm going to look here and see what I had you. Mount Sinai has the same gematria, which is 130, which was the giving of the Matan Torah. So the two are connected. Our life is a movement forward, just like Jacob's ladder was. As we climb a ladder, you go up a rung at a time, and you move up closer and closer to the Heavenly Father. And just to close this morning, you see, our journey of life begins at birth. And each day of our life, our journey is just like it is. We move closer and closer to God's promised land. You see, Yeshua was not born from a sinful man, but his body was a heavenly body that God had prepared and given to him. And Yeshua was the fullness of God in a body form, in a human form. But he was perfect in all, and he was a heavenly body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, we are born in the image of man, which is dust, but we shall one day also bear the image of the Messiah, Yeshua, and that will be in a heavenly body. Shabbat shalom. Okay, let's see what we're... Okay, we got some announcements this morning. I got to go by a little schedule here. They made it... Carol made it real nice and big for me so I can see it real good. So we have announcements this morning. An update on the fellowship hall. The sump pump has been put in place and installed. The wall has been replaced. There's a lot of work been accomplished. The next thing, the next objective that we have would be putting in the floor. And we asked if you can financially help. That would be wonderful, because these people work and do this work and they have to be paid. So we need to, if you can provide, if you have some extra money and would like to donate to us to work on the fellowship hall, that would be wonderful. And if you send that in, just be sure and mark it on an envelope or let us know exactly how you want that handled, and we will make sure that it goes to the fellowship hall. So, Rabbi, just to let you know a little bit about Rabbi and Rebbitz and Don, they're not here today. He was in the hospital, and he became dehydrated, and they are still in Florida. He's doing much better now, and they are planning on returning back to Bristol tomorrow, which will be Sunday. So I think we're going to do the offering now, Carol. Okay, we're going to have the offering, and we're going to play the happy song. So be happy when you give an offering to God. We're to come joyous because we've got something to give back to God that's given to us.
Lord, to tell of all you've done, of how you changed my life and wiped away the past. Oh, I want to shout it out from every rooftop scene. For now I know that God is for me, not against me. Oh, I can sing an ending song of how you saved my soul. Lord, to tell of all you've done, of how you changed my life and wiped away the past. Oh, Thompson. For now I know that God is for me, not against me. Oh, I could sing an ending song of how you saved my soul. So happy. Everybody's dancing now. Yeah. 'Cause we're so happy. Yeah. If only we could see your face and see you smiling over us. An unseen angel celebrate. Hey, the joy is in this place.
Start now our worship. I encourage you to enter in to do that, to worship the Lord.
The two most common reasons people go to see plastic surgery.
rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
Us wandered away, but now I need you to answer my plea, though I don't know what I'm asking, and I know even less what I expect you to say. I can't let let you go till you blessed me and a change in my name. For more than the watchman, for the morning, more than the evening, for the dawning, I wait for you, my soul waits for you. I miss you so much, I don't know what to do. Don't you know that I love you? Must I show you too? Here is my mind for you to read. All I need is your touch. Only one. Only from whom I need forgiveness just one more time. You're the only one who had to bleed for my lack of understanding. Take me back, take my hand in your ways so sublime.
lesson till then. number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, to be glad, to be joyous in them. Oh, how we love this time, this place, but it's not our destination. We strive to run this race with all of the strength we can bring. Then in what is but the blink of an eye, we finish our years like a sigh. So help us now, Lord, show us how we can redeem days that pass like a dream, and teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, to be glad, to rejoice in them. For a thousand years in your sight is merely they watch in the night. So before they all fly away, teach us to number our days. We're given to pride, so unsatisfied, still you provide such mercy. In light of our sin, how can we begin to thank you for placing your beauty within? Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, to be glad, to rejoice in them. So before they all fly away, teach us to number our days. Yes, before we all fly away, teach us to number our
And I will say the prayer, and then we can partake. We'll give you just a little bit of time here to get prepared for that. We have the little prepared here for the COVID-19. We have to keep everything above board and healthy per the state of Virginia that has asked us to do that. After we go to the table, then we will have the message from Rabbi Joseph. Will bring that for us just shortly. And that it's a remake of the message from Fear Not COVID-19, Have Faith in God. So still very pertinent as we're still dealing with the COVID-19. It seems to be finding its way to our area quite often here recently, here in the last week. Like there's been a lot of sickness. So we're going to, has everybody got their, we're going to give them just a minute to, everyone have their cups? Okay, I want to make sure before we start. Okay. Yeshua, he took the drink, and he said, "This represents my blood, which is shed for your remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." That's what God's word says. And he blessed it. Baruch Atadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Borei Peri Hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. He took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he blessed it. Brukatadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua is the bread of life. So may we partake this morning.
That tree.
Let's pray for the word of the Lord. Now, for some of you watched me last night, I gave this message, but there's always something new with the Lord. So this is a message that you need to get in your spirit, and if you heard it, it won't hurt you to hear it again, because I believe that you'll get new things out of it today. If I was going to do it, I want to tell you something. Let me tell you something you may not know. If you read about King Hezekiah, look up about King Hezekiah. What did you just do? What'd you do? Oh, okay. If you read about King Hezekiah, Dawn had this horrified look on her face. I don't know what she did, but anyway, King Hezekiah was not ready for Passover. The Levites weren't ready. If you read in Chronicles of the Kings about Hezekiah in the book of Kings, Hezekiah wasn't ready for Passover, but he wanted to celebrate Passover. So the Levites weren't consecrated. The priests weren't consecrated to celebrate it. So he went and inquired of the Lord, and he decided, we're going to do it a month later. So they celebrated Passover a month later, and God blessed it. And not only that, they went up north to the Samaritans and the people the left from the so-called lost tribes people say they're lost, but Hezekiah sent people out to those so-called lost tribes, and he invited them to the Passover. And if you read about it, look up Hezekiah's Passover, or you look up the second Passover, or you can look up Hezekiah sent messengers into Samaria. You know, just look, Google Hezekiah sent messengers. He celebrated Passover a month later. Now, that means that God gives us grace to celebrate a month later. So we may postpone. We're going to still have our Seder at home this week, but we may be able to gather together in a month. Who knows? You know, they did it in the Bible. They did it a month later. You may be, for Christians who celebrate Easter, you may be able to celebrate the resurrection together a month later, because if Passover was celebrated a month later, the fact is that Yeshua, Jesus, he was crucified, buried, and resurrected on Passover. So if they celebrated it a month later, then why can't you celebrate the resurrection a month later? Amen? So check that out, Hezekiah's Passover. And I'm going to teach on it later this week myself. But anyway, so I want to start today. I want to pray. So Heavenly Father, just give me your word right now in the name of Yeshua. Anoint me, empty me of Joe, and just bring forth your message. Anoint the ears of the people to hear. Anoint their hearts to receive. And bring the people you want to listen to this message right now in the name of Yeshua. We bind the enemy. We take authority. And we take authority. And we thank you, Lord, that we have authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, you said. Over all the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. Okay, so the first thing I want to tell you, Passover starts Wednesday. And if you, for 1 minute, tell me, if John, if you could bring my drinks over to this table, that would be a blessing. I want to tell you that at Passover, we're experiencing a plague right now. I'm not even going to name it, okay, because you know what it is, right? We're experiencing a plague right now. And I want to tell you about plagues. There was no plague in Egypt that ended because of a quarantine. There was no plague in Egypt that ended because of a vaccine. There was no plague in Egypt that ended by any human intervention except when Moses prayed. When God's man, when God's anointed priest prayed at the request of the king, only at the request of the king, when the king said, please intercede with your God, and we're going to look at that. Turn to Exodus chapter 8, and we're just going to look at a few of these. This is the plague of frogs. Now, sometimes God ended plagues, like the plague of blood, without even a prayer. God ended the plague. Some of the plagues he just ended, and we're going to get into that, how God can end a plague just like that. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible, how God can end it just overnight. He can end something. But in chapter 8 of Exodus, and we look at verse 8, chapter 8, verse 8, God had sent frogs upon the Egyptians, And it says, and there were so many frogs, the French chefs would have had a great time cooking frogs' legs. But there weren't any French chefs in Egypt, so they probably didn't make any. But anyway, it says, Pharaoh got fed up with the frogs. So in verse 8 it says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he remove the frogs from me and from the people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, the honor is yours to tell me, when shall I entreat for you? In other words, when shall I pray? And your servants and your people, that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, that they may be left only in the Nile. And then he said, tomorrow. So he said, may it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. In verse 11, the frogs will depart from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They will be left only in the Nile. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had inflicted upon Pharaoh. The Lord did according to the word of Moses, verse 13, and the frogs died out of the houses, the courts, and the fields. So they piled them in heaps in the land. The land became foul. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart again, unfortunately. Okay, so there we have an example of a plague where Moses prayed, no quarantine, no vaccine, no hydrochloroquine pills. You know, Moses prayed. They didn't call who's the exterminator guy? You know, he goes around, you know, stalking in houses, behind houses, killing bugs and chasing cockroaches down drains. Remember that guy? They didn't have to call him to get the frogs. They just, Terminex, that was it. They didn't call the Terminex guy. Moses simply prayed. Amen? Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Lower this down. And, Moses sat when he taught, so I'm going to sit like Moses, all right? I just want to praise the Lord. I got a great report yesterday. My blood counts were up miraculously. I want to thank you for praying for me. For those of you who don't know, I've been fighting leukemia for 10 years, and it came back hard on me. And I really was supposed to be getting chemotherapy at the Mayo Clinic this week, but I couldn't go because of the tsunami of the coronavirus. I couldn't go get my treatment, so I've been getting blood tests, and they were dropping. My counts were dropping so low that they wouldn't even give me the chemo because I didn't meet the qualification. My blood counts were too low. They've gone up a full point, just a praise report. My blood counts have gone up a full point on one of my key immune counts, and my white blood counts have gone up. And actually, one of my immune counts is in normal range. It's low normal, but it's normal. It's trending. We're trending in the right direction. So I want to praise God that I believe, you know, somebody said you're healed. Many people have said you're healed. And I believe that. I receive it. And I just believe it's manifesting. God is manifesting my healing. And we're just going to watch, and I'll give you reports. But let's continue. Turn to the plague of flies in Exodus 8:30, chapter 8, verse 30. Let me take this away here and read it. Okay, so actually so there was a plague of flies in the land of Egypt. In verse 29, then Moses said, behold, I'm going out from you, and I shall make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again. And in verse 28, Pharaoh said to Moses, make supplication for me. Get rid of the flies. Okay? Again, no quarantine, no hydrochloroquine, no azithromycin, no social distancing, none of that stuff, you know. Just Moses prayed and the plague went away. Or if not that, if you read some of the other plagues, like the plague of boils in chapter 9, they just went away. It doesn't even say Moses prayed. It just they just went away. And the plague of hail, the Let's read chapter 9, verse 27 through 29. Okay. Then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. He said to Moses, make supplication to the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no hail, be hail no longer, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Hallelujah. And Moses did, they spread out his hands. It says in verse 33, he spread out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured on the earth. Now, I want to say something to you about the economy. In the time of Moses, all these plagues destroyed, not only were they plagues against the gods of Egypt. For example, the blood on the Nile, the Egyptians worshipped the Nile River because it brought them so much fruitfulness and abundance that they worshipped it. So God turned it to blood, and it killed the fish, it killed the crops, because it was the water from the Nile that fed the crops. The hail destroyed the crops. Locusts ate the crops and the green, all the leaves and the fruit. The locusts destroyed it. The hail destroyed all the plants and killed the livestock. God completely destroyed. By the way, the Egyptians worshipped cattle. God killed the cattle with hail and with lightning and thunder, and he destroyed the cattle. He completely wiped out the Egyptian economy. Okay, and he destroyed their idols. Now, what is this plague doing to us? It's causing people. You can't go to bars. You can't go to rock concerts. You can't even go to church. You can't go to restaurants and hang out with your friends. You can't go to amusement parks. You can't go to Disney World or Disneyland. You can't go to movie theaters. He's taking away the things that people spend most of their time away from God, having fun, doing the things that they like to do in groups. God has taken them away from us. He's taking away the idolatry of the American people and the world, because he's by this one plague, just one plague, God is, thank God, he's given us internet. He's allowed us to have internet and data and social networking, so we can do this. But thank God for that we still have that, streaming. Okay, so let's go on. In chapter 10, in verse 13, there was locusts, and it says that Moses again, it says, God said in verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up on the land of Egypt and eat every plant of the land. See, I said it destroyed their economy, even all that the hail has left. So what the hail didn't destroy, the locusts finished off. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord directed an east wind on the land all day and all night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts came up over the land of Egypt and settled in all the territory of Egypt. They were very numerous. There had never been so many locusts, nor would there ever be so many again. So when locusts come, they come, it turns the day into night. That's how much, when a locust invasion comes, it turns the day into night. And God says, here in Egypt, there had never been so many locusts, and there never would be so many locusts again and in the world. They covered the surface of the whole land, and it says in verse 15, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every plant of the land and the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Thus, nothing green was left on a tree or plant of Egypt. God was starving the Egyptians. He was literally starving them. And he destroyed the economy of the Egyptians. So that, why did they give their silver and gold to the children of Israel? Because their silver and gold was worthless. It was like, it might as well have been toilet paper. No pun intended. Maybe a little bit. But okay. All right, so let's go on. So as far as Passover goes, God used plagues to destroy the economy of the Egyptians and all their idols. And he... No no quarantine, no vaccine, only prayer and the Lord himself stopped the plague. So just a thought. I'm not saying we shouldn't develop a vaccine. I'm not saying that we shouldn't social distance or quarantine, but ultimately God is the one who will deliver us from the plague. Amen. No matter how much we distance ourselves, the only one who can kill it is God. And we're going to see that God is the only one who can kill this bug. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on to the next word I have for you. Okay, God can change things overnight, okay? People are saying there's all this fear, okay? There's so much fear on television and fear on the radio. And Glenn Beck, I mean, just in utter panic. I mean, I remember Glenn Beck in 2008 when the recession came in 2008. And Glenn Beck said this was in 2009, I think. Glenn Beck said by April of 2009, the U.S. dollar would collapse. And you can look that up. Glenn Beck, I remember. And I stopped listening to Glenn after that because I don't like it when people prophesy negativity. I hate when people prophesy doom and gloom and it's false. And Glenn, although I like Glenn Beck generally, but you know, he said that the dollar would collapse in April of 2009. Well, it's April of 2020, and if anybody wants to send me your collapsed dollars, P.O. Box 1486, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. I'll be glad to use them for toilet paper since they're not worth anything. Feel free to send them to For Zion's Sake Ministries. This is 11 years after Glenn Beck said the dollar was going to collapse. Don't listen to the fear, people. Have faith in God. Amen. He can change things overnight. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6 and look at the siege of Samaria, okay? 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, the people of Aram, the Arameans, which basically the Syrians, and they surrounded Samaria, and there was a siege. In verse 24 of 2 Kings 6, it says, "Now it came about after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver." For 80 shekels. Now, I have never paid more than 3 shekels for a donkey's head. Have you, Don? I've never paid more than 3 shekels for my donkey's heads. But they were paying, in those days, 80 shekels for a donkey's head. That is highway robbery, Josh. I mean, would you pay 80 shekels for a donkey's head? No, I don't think so. And they were paying a fourth of a cab of dove's dung was 5 shekels. 5 shekels of silver. 1 cab equals 2 quarts. So a quart is 32 ounces. That's 64 ounces. So 1 quarter of 64 ounces is a pound, right? 1 quarter, 16 ounces. Yeah, it's a pound. So 1 pound of dove's dung cost was selling for 5 shekels. Lord have mercy. I wouldn't pay more than a half a shekel for a pound of dove's dung. Would you, Don? I mean, you got to come over to our house sometime and have some dove's dung soup. That's what they were eating there, and they were paying 5 shekels for it. My goodness. Seriously, folks, they were in serious famine. When you're eating donkey's heads and dove's dung, things are getting really bad, okay? I mean, if you're eating rice and beans, and I've been eating some I like rice and beans, so I've been eating some rice and beans lately. But honestly, most of us are not suffering. And if your neighbor's suffering, help your neighbor. Please help your neighbor. Give him food. If you have food, if you have toilet paper, please help your neighbor. And the people in your the people struggling around you in your congregation, share with them. Would you do that for Rabbi Joe and for the Lord? He'd bless you for it. Okay, so we talked about donkey's heads selling for highway robbery and dove's dung selling for outrageous prices. Let's go on here. Verse 26, as the king of Israel was passing by the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." He said, "If the Lord does not help you, from where shall I help you?" In other words, what can I do for you? From the threshing floor, shall I give you wheat or grain? Or shall I give you grapes from the wine press? And the king said to her, "What is the matter with you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son what we may eat, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.'" I mean, we haven't seen bad. When people start eating their babies, boys, better be careful, because we could get hungry. when people start eating their babies, just kidding. We love you. You're not babies anymore. They're a little meatier now, Don, actually. Yeah. Just kidding. Seriously. I mean, this is insane here. I mean, this is how bad it was. They were eating their children. And so one woman said to the king, "So we boiled my son and ate him." This is the Bible, not me. "And I said to her, 'On the next day, give your son that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son. And when the king heard the words of the woman, he tore his clothes. Now he was passing by on the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth beneath his body. Then he said, 'May God do so to me and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat," the prophet Elisha, "remains on him today.'" So, see, isn't it something how people always want to blame somebody? They're blaming the president for this. Like it's his fault. Like he brought this virus from China, which is very clearly it came from China. The Wuhan coronavirus, the Chinese coronavirus, is clearly the Chinese had this all worked out. I read an article last night where they are trying to take over the world economy. I read this in the National Review. Look up the National Review article about the Chinese taking over the world economy. Their goal has been open. It's public knowledge that they want to surpass the United States as the number one economy. And what better way to do it than destroy our economy so that they can step in, and they're sending ventilators and masks to other countries except us. And they're sending medicine, and they're trying to be the hero. Meanwhile, the ventilators they're sending from China and the masks aren't working. they're not working, and other countries are having real problems because they're depending on the Chinese for help, and the stuff the Chinese are sending isn't working. So China is no friend of ours, guys, and they are. If you don't believe that China's behind this, trying to destroy it. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just totally see the handwriting on the wall here, what's going on. They don't want to share their medicine with us. They don't want to share masks with us. I mean, they're showing that they're not our friend. Okay, let's continue. So the king blamed Elisha, just like you see people blaming President Trump. President Trump is trying to fix this thing. He's got a task force, okay, of the greatest minds and doctors and the Surgeon General and all these, you know, people handling procurement of ventilators and then these, you know, the Surgeon General is giving guidelines what we should do about masks and social distancing. They're doing everything they can to help Americans stop the virus. Amen. But everybody has to. There's always has to be a scapegoat. And so let's look what Elisha did. So in verse 32, Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him, and the king sent a man from his presence. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "Do you see how this son of a murderer," this is Elisha talking, he calling the king a son of a murderer, "has sent to take away my head?" In other words, the man the king sent was an assassin. He was a soldier. He was an assassin. He was sent to kill Elisha the prophet. So Elisha said, "Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door, hold the door shut against him. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And while he was still talking with them, behold, the messenger came down to him, and he said, "Behold, this evil is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Elisha, then Elisha said, chapter 7, verse 1, listen to this, to the word of the Lord. "Thus says the Lord, tomorrow," everybody say tomorrow, "tomorrow, about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. In other words, the famine's going to be over in one night. Instead of paying 80 shekels for a donkey's head, people are only going to have to pay 4 shekels now. Praise God. And I mean, and a cab of dove's dung would only cost about one denarii. Praise God. I mean, what a deal. Seriously, overnight, the plague ended. Overnight. Everybody say overnight. God can stop a plague overnight. And if we read on, I'm not going to read on, but what happened was the Aramaeans, God made it so they could hear chariots and soldiers and armies, and they got scared and they abandoned their tents and their food and their weapons and their horses and all their wheat and their supplies. Thousands, and the Syrians, there were thousands of them, tents. And you can read the story in 2 Kings 6 and 7. And they abandoned everything, and these 4 lepers went out there, and they found all this stuff, gold and silver and grain and food to eat. And they went back. First, they stole some, and they hid it and buried it for themselves. But then they went out, and they told the king and the authorities, and the famine was over. Overnight. Hallelujah. God can end this thing overnight, people. He can end this plague, this coronavirus, overnight. He can stop it. He did it for Moses. He did it for Elisha. He can do it for you and me. We have a better covenant than Moses and Elisha. Hebrews tells us we have a better covenant than Moses and Elisha, than David, than Isaac. We have a better covenant. Things can change overnight. Praise God. And so I wanted to say that to you. Now I'm going to go on to now I have another word for you. And this is the word. This is a word God gave me for you, and I'm going to share it with you now. And this is going to be a brief message because I don't have a lot more to say. Excuse me, I'll have a sip of coffee here. Okay, turn to Genesis 26 and get ready for this word. This is going to bless you. God wants to bless. You see what, you know, God's doing right now, guys? God is separating his people from those who are not his people. Now, if you're in God's will and you're obedient to God, then he's going to bless you through this. Not, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. God does not want to harm his people. And so if you're in his will and you're obeying the Lord and following the Lord and you're obeying the governing authorities, Romans 13, if you're dwelling in the shelter of the Most High by obeying God, remember, obedience is better than sacrifice. Isaiah chapter 1, 18, 19 says, obey the Lord. If you obey the Lord, you will eat the fat of the land, it says in Isaiah 1, 18, 19. It says, if you obey the Lord, you will eat the fat of the land. But if you don't, the sword of judgment will come upon you if you don't obey the Lord. So guys, there's so many believers out there that don't obey God. They're not in God's will. And if you're not in God's will, then you can't be dwelling under the shelter, in the shelter of the Most High in Psalm 91. And you can't be under the shadow of the Almighty. He won't protect you from the virus. So there was a church in Arkansas, okay? I'm not going to talk about Rodney Howard Brown, but you all know Rodney Howard Brown got arrested because he broke the law. And a lot of people are saying, well, oh, poor Rodney. Oh, I know Rodney Howard Brown. I've met Rodney 3 or 4 times. I'm sorry. I feel bad for Rodney that he got arrested, but the law of Florida said don't gather more than 10 people, and he had a big church gathering. You know, sometimes we you know, read Romans 13. That's all you got to do. Just read Romans 13. Okay, let's go on. But there was a church in Arkansas, and they stopped meeting just like us. They stopped meeting. and this church in Arkansas. But then all of a sudden, one day, they had all the kids come, and the parents, and somebody had the virus, and it spread to 30 people in this church in Arkansas. You can Google it. Church in Arkansas gets the coronavirus, and it spread the coronavirus not just to the church, but it spread it all around. People went out and spread it in Arkansas. And, I mean, Christians and Messianic believers are not exempt from plagues if we do stupid stuff, guys. If we do dumb things and we don't follow what, you know, Yeshua said in Romans 13, pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. You know, if we don't obey the governing authorities, then, you know, do what they tell us to do. Again, not jump off a bridge, not go and kill somebody, but if we do what the government asks us to do, we will be in God's will. Okay? Let's move on. I got a word for you, and I don't want to get hung up on it. Genesis 26. And this is going to, you get this in your spirit, you're going to be blown away here. Okay. Isaac sowed in a land of famine. Let's look at Genesis 26, 12. Now, God sent Isaac into the land of Canaan, which is today is Israel. It became Israel. And he told Isaac, just like his father Abraham, he sent Abraham into the land of Canaan, a land that he did not know. He said, Lech Lecha, get up and go to a land that you do not know, that your fathers do not know, and you shall inherit that land. You and your family will be an eternal possession for you and your descendants forever, God said to Abraham in Genesis 12. I'm giving you this land. And so he told Isaac, he said to Isaac, and the son of Abraham, verse 12, he had already told Isaac to stay in the land. He said, stay in the land. There was famine. Everybody say there was famine. There was famine in the land. And it says, chapter 26, verse 1, now there was famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, which is in Gaza, and to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. I will give your descendants all these lands. By your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me. Did you hear me say that before? Obey. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Folks, obedience is so important. So Isaac lived in Gerar, which is Gaza. If you read Zechariah, you'll see that Gaza, eventually, in the millennial reign, when Yeshua comes back, Gaza will belong to Judah. It's part of the inheritance of the tribe of Judah. So Gaza is actually part of Israel. And Gerar, where he lived, is there. So in verse 12, so God told Isaac to stay in Israel, in Canaan. And he did. It says in verse 12, now Isaac sowed in that land, in the land of famine. Get this. Listen. Hear, O Israel, listen. Shema Israel, listen to this. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy, for he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. I'm going to stop there. Isaac sowed in the land. And he reaped 100-fold in 1 year. Now, 1 year. Okay, so your 401k may have tanked, but or whatever, wherever you sow, maybe you sow into the kingdom, maybe you sowed seed in a garden, maybe you sow the word of God like I'm doing right now. Amen. And it's going to reap 100-fold in 1 year. I believe that right now. I just say, Lord, my word, which is your word, is going to reap 100-fold, because your word does not return void. And I claim that 100-fold return in the name of Yeshua. So whatever it is you're sowing in the land of famine and in the parable of the talents, God told him to take money. It was, you know, He gave one guy, it says, according to his ability in Matthew 25. And mind you, the parable of the talents is one of several parables in Matthew 25 that deal with the end times. You should read those parables in Matthew 25. They deal with the very end of days, with the end time. They're end time parables. And God gave to one man, he gave him five talents of silver, and a talent weighs about, what, 75 pounds to 100 pounds. A talent of gold. He gave him 100 pounds of gold. At $16 an ounce, you can do the math. Gold is $16 plus $16.50 an ounce, give or take. So you do the math. Isaac, can you calculate that for me? Times $16 an ounce times 16, that would make a pound, times 100 pounds. And see what that is. That's a lot of money, okay? So God gave one guy in the parable of the talents, he gave five talents to one guy, two talents to another guy, and one talent to another guy, okay? And the guy who got five talents, that's like 500 pounds of gold, he invested that 500 pounds of gold, and he doubled his money, okay? 100-fold. He doubled his money, 100%. Isaac sowed in a land of famine and reaped 100-fold. That's 100 times of the original amount. That's what it means, 100-fold. 100 times the original amount. So that man reaped, he doubled his money. He didn't even reap 100 times. He just doubled it, and God was so blessed with him, he said, enter into the joy of your master, the guy with the five talents of gold. The guy with the two talents, he invested his two talents. Remember, God gives you according to your ability to handle, whether it's the word of God, whether it's seed for planting a garden, whether it's money. God gives you according to your ability to invest it for him. He doesn't want to give you. That's why you hear these people, they win the lottery. They'll win 50 million, the people who are, you know, making 10 bucks an hour, and they win $75 million, and 3 years later they're without a job and they're poor because they didn't know how to handle it. They didn't have the ability to handle $75 million, so they just blew it. They bought houses and they bought cars and they gave it away and they just, you know, spent it, and they didn't invest it. And there was one guy, the last guy, who got one talent in the parable of the talents, and he buried it because he was in fear. He was the guy, remember I said, stop listening to the fear mongers on TV? Stop listening to the fear and don't bury your talent. Your talent may be to play an instrument. Maybe you can play an instrument for the Lord. I came up with a suggestion for my family the other day. I said, you know, if I felt better, and I've worked for charities for a long time, working one for, this is what I do, you know. I said, if somebody came up with a social media thing in Northeast Tennessee, you know, to bring the haves and the have-nots together, you know, help your neighbor Tri-Cities. Help your neighbor Tri-Cities, COVID-19. And created a social media account and brought the haves and the have-nots together. There's people, poor people, there's people, old elderly people that need groceries. They can't go to the grocery store. They can't get out. They need people to drive for them or to take, you know, help them in different ways. There's people who have 5, 6, 7, 8 children, can't feed them. They need help. There's people who need masks. They have low immunity, and people are making masks out there. I've been blessed. I actually asked one of these ladies. She was on Facebook, and I needed masks. So I asked, I said, would you make me a mask? And so she's making me several masks that I can wear when I go out, because I'm basically a high-risk person. And I was a high-risk person. Now I'm getting better. Praise the Lord. By faith. Amen? But anyway, so Isaac sowed in a land of famine, and he reaped a hundredfold in 1 year. What's that saying? Get this in your spirit, guys. It may take a year. If you, let's use the stock market, for example, okay? Let's say you buy a mutual fund, and you buy it now when it's low. And I'm not telling you, I'm not an advisor. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just using this as an example, okay? I'm not telling you to buy anything. I'm not telling you what to buy. But if you did and it bought it low, you have to hear from God. You have to pray and ask God, where should I invest? Look, you may have a widow's mite. God will tell you where to invest it. You may have $500. God will tell you where to invest it. You may have $500,000. God will tell you, if you pray, where to invest. But I believe we're living in a time when God wants to give you a hundredfold in 1 year. We're living in a time of famine or plague when God wants to give his people a hundredfold return in 1 year. You have to hear where he wants you to put that, to invest, however you do. Now, so this is a financial investment. Isaac did. The parable of the talents. People shy away from money. I'm not a prosperity teacher either. I'm not one of those, write me a $1,000 check and God's going to bless you. He's going to give you 10 times what you give when you send me $1,000. I'm not one of those preachers. But this is the word of God. And the parable of the talents is about money. You know, money is mentioned so much in the Bible. Here, this is God's saying to Isaac, sow. And what did he do? It says, he didn't sow the word of God, because let's read it in verse 12. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And it says the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Folks, that's money or livestock. He either sowed seed and planted and built his livestock, his animals, so that he became very rich with livestock, or he invested in, you know, the Isaac's meat company, Isaac meat slaughterhouse and packing, and he sold so much meat to the Philistines that he became rich, exceedingly rich. So God, as what I'm saying is be patient, pray, sow your seed where God tells you to invest. God doesn't want you to be poor. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love her shall prosper. As Psalm 118 says, O Lord, prosper us. Prosper us. The psalmist, that's one of the most famous psalms in Judaism, is Psalm 118. It's the psalm that was, they said when Yeshua entered into the city, they were singing Psalm 118. It's the psalm that's sung on Sukkot, on the Feast of Sukkot. They sing Psalm 118. It's the Hallel, right? The Hallel. Anyway, you can read that yourself. God wants you to prosper. He says, be fruitful and multiply. So the word for you is pray, don't fear, sow, and you will reap if you follow, if God tells you, if you hear his voice, where to sow. You will reap. You may reap a hundredfold. But let me tell you this. Okay, right now things look bad. Some people are out of work. Stock market's tanking. But in a month you might buy. Let's say I'm just use this since we're talking about money here. That's what Isaac was sowing. He became rich. That's what the parable of talents is talking about. Money. So let's talk about money. Let's say you sowed $100 or $1,000 in a mutual fund. Okay, and that mutual fund, okay, went up, okay, in a month, maybe it goes up 10%. And remember, Isaac reaped a hundredfold in a year. So let's say you bought a mutual fund and it went up 10% in a month. Let's say in 3 months it went up 40%. Let's say in 6 months it went up 65%. Let's say in 8 months it went up 74%. You see what I'm saying? It'll go up and down, but in a year, if you believe the word, not me, you got to pray. I'm just preaching the word. I always tell, but don't take my word for it. But I believe God gave me this word for you, that if you sow in this land of famine right now, if you find the right place to sow, God will bless you 100-fold. Praise God. But you also, I said this last night, don't stop giving to your church or your synagogue. Don't stop giving your tithe. If you're able to continue tithing, first give your tithes, give your offerings and such. And when you have whatever you have left over, if you have abundance, if you have excess, invest. God's saying invest. Don't bury your money. Like the guy in the parable of the talents, he buried his talent and God said, cast him out into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Drag him off, cast him out. The master was angry with this guy because he buried his talent and said the Lord was harsh, was a harsh taskmaster. He didn't obey the Lord. Oh my gosh, if you can get this in your sin, 100-fold in 1 year, but your 401k may be tanking. Hang in there. It's already down so far. There's nothing you can do but lose money if you sell it. But I'm not an advisor. You do what you want to do. But here's the deal. I believe, and I'm not a millionaire, but I believe that you can reap 100-fold in a year. This will turn around. My wife was reminded me in the recession of 2008 when the stock market went down 777 points in one day. And that was big then because the market was 18,000. The Dow Jones Industrials was 18,000 points back in or even in maybe 11 or 12,000 back in 2008. It's around 11,000 or 12,000. Do you know today the Dow Jones Industrial is at 21,000? So it's almost double what it was then. So 777 point drop back in 2008 would be like a 1,400 and, you know, a 1,500 point drop today. It's doubled in size. It's grown that much. And so it can take a year for things to come back. It may take a year for things to come back, people, but Don reminded me, even during the recession, which the economy was terrible in 2008 and 2009, we led trips to Israel. I led 4 trips to Israel, and 2009 and 10, I led 3 tours myself to Israel, and I went to Israel with Jay Sekulow, and I was invited on his personal tour of Israel. I got invited to be on Jay Sekulow's tour, and I was blessed to spend several hours on the bus, in the back of the bus, with Jay Sekulow. Funny story, let me tell you the story. Okay, so this guy that worked for Jay Sekulow, I won't name his name, I was sitting in the middle of the bus because on Jay's tour, they would drive out and tour, and then they'd go back to Jerusalem and stay in a fancy hotel. And I couldn't afford the hotel they were staying at in Jerusalem, so I would get in a cab and go to my hotel, which was a little less expensive, and then I'd get up in the morning early, and I'd take my cab and meet the group, because I couldn't afford to stay in the hotel that Jay and his group was staying in. So I would meet the group, but I was a guest. And some people were employees who were on this tour. They were secretaries and administrators, whatever. And I was a guest. And so this one person who worked for Jay, I was sitting in the middle of the bus. We were heading up to the Syrian border from Jerusalem. Now, in Jay's group, most tours of Israel, they'll travel and they'll stop. Most tours will go, if you're going up to Galilee, you go to a new hotel. Or if you're going down to the desert, you stay to a new hotel. Or if you're going to Tel Aviv, you stay in a different hotel. But Jay's tour stayed in the same hotel, and they would drive, 4 hours up to the Syrian border from Jerusalem, and then they'd drive 4 hours back to Jerusalem. I mean, 8 hours on a bus. I've never done this before in Israel. And my back, I was getting cancer. It was 2010. The cancer was in my bone marrow, and my back was hurting me terribly. So I was sitting in the middle of the bus where there was no wheels, most comfortable place. I got a seat in the middle of the bus. And so one of these people that worked for Jay said, "Joe, I need your seat. Get out." And I said to the guy, I said, "You know, I'm not an employee. I'm a guest on this tour. I've been invited, and I don't have to get out. So, you know, go get another seat." And he wouldn't stop. And so this was a major tour. There were some ambassadors, very big, powerful people on this tour. And I was not going to make a scene. So this guy wouldn't let up on me. So I said, "You know what? I'm not going to make a scene." So I went to the back of the bus. So Jay Sekulow saw me and his partner, his law partner. They saw what happened. They saw the guy tell me. They saw me get up and give up the seat. And so Jay and his partner, this is how nice Jay Sekulow is. He came to the back of the bus, and Jay Sekulow sat with me for 3.5 hours. And he talked with me. He says to me, "Who are you, man?" I mean, he didn't know who I was. He's like, "Who are you?" He said, "Why did you give up your seat? Are you going to take that from that guy?" And I said to him, I said, "Jay," I said, I normally wouldn't take it. And I would have probably prevailed had I fought the guy for the seat. He wouldn't have prevailed over me back in 2010, I'll tell you that much. But I wasn't going to make a scene on Jay Sekulow's bus. And that's why I said to Jay, I said, "Jay, I'm not going to make a scene on this bus. So, yeah, I gave up my seat because of that. I respect what's going on here too much and the people to make a scene." So I went to the back of the bus, and Jay sat there with me for 3.5 hours and his partner, and we talked. And that was so cool. I mean, just to spend that much time. Jay Sekulow was the lead counsel in the impeachment trial who defended Donald Trump. And that he would spend 3.5 hours with me. I mean, I don't know if you know how much lawyers bill, but my mother, you know, I know a lawyer in Boston who charges $1,000 an hour. So you can imagine how much an hour of Jay Sekulow's time costs. He spent 3.5 hours just hanging out with me. I think that's pretty cool. Anyway, that's just the story. So it may take a year. Isaac sowed in a land of famine, and he reaped 100-fold, 100 times what he sowed. And God blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy, for he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Praise God. God wants to bless you, brothers and sisters. You have a better covenant. It may take a year. If you sow today and you buy certain things are cheap right now. You know, like I mentioned, stocks have gone down. Maybe the stocks will come up. I'm just doing a hypothetical. Since God's talking money, I'm going to talk money here too. You know, maybe if you invest in something when it goes low, maybe in a year it'll come back 100-fold. You got to pray and ask God. But I believe if you obey, if you get this word in your spirit, I don't care if you have $100 to invest, $500, $1,000, $10,000, $50,000, $200,000, whatever you have, $2 million. God will bless you. I believe it. 100-fold. And that was a word I believe the Lord gave me to give you. And so if you can get that in your spirit. Obedience. Be obedient. Don't be like the guy who buried his talent in the ground. Don't bury your money under the mattress. Use it either for God's kingdom. If you play the piano, if you play the guitar, use it for God. My wife and I, we do worship. We've been doing worship for 25 years together. Use your gifts. My wife's a real musician. I'm a hacker. I play the bass and I fool around with the guitar and I sing with her. But she's a real musician. She played, you know, in the University of Tennessee band. She played the clarinet, taught herself to play piano. I mean, you know, anyway, use your gifts, whatever it is, for God. If you're an artist, you know, paint for God, you know, glorify God. Invest in a land of famine right now and pray where to put your, whatever it is God wants you to sow. pray where to do it, and I believe God will give you 100-fold, maybe more. I'd be happy with 30 or 40-fold or 50. You know, most people, that's 30, you know, most people would be happy with a 30% return. Isaac got 100%. Wow. I mean, that's unusual. That's a very unusual return, okay? So anyway, let's conclude for today. I believe this plague is going to pass quickly, and I gave a teaching which you can read on, you can see on my Facebook page, or you can see it online. I gave a teaching on the blood red moons. I'm not sure if it's on there. No, it's not on our website. It's on my Facebook page or the ministry Facebook page that you're watching. Just scroll down where I taught on the coronavirus and the blood red moons. But I believe this is going to pass quickly. Passover begins next week. Just like the famine ended overnight in Elisha's time, just like the plagues in Egypt ended like that when Moses prayed or God took them away, and God's ready to kill this plague, less like he killed SARS and MERS and all that, you know, God will take away the plague, and he will do it quicker than the fear mongers are saying, because you're praying. Hallelujah. God will take it away quicker than the fear mongers are saying, because you are praying. Amen. A few days ago, I taught the blood red moons and the coronavirus. I suggest you go back and watch it on my Facebook pages. It's on all my pages, so you can see it. A lunar eclipse is much quicker than a solar eclipse, and I explain what the relation of how the virus is related to the eclipse, the lunar eclipse, the blood red moon. So I believe there is a connection between Passover and the lunar eclipses of 2014 and 15, and I encourage you to watch that. That's my message for today. It may take a year. If you're hurting, folks, I want to encourage you. If you've lost your 401k, has gone down, or your pension, and you're hurting, it's going to come back. I really believe it's going to come back. You know, again, I'm not a financial advisor or anything. I just believe it's going to come back. And I believe that we shouldn't be fearful. And I believe that we got to keep on doing whatever we can do. Here I am by myself with my family. My sons are running the sound. Isaac and Josh are running the sound, and they're beating each other up back there. And no, they're loving on each other. They're just hugging each other hard. They're hugging hard. They're giving hard hugs. No, thank you, Isaac and Josh, for doing video and sound and helping us today. And Dawn is with me. It's just the four of us here in our little synagogue. So come and join us if you need a sin. If you don't have a home when things get better and you are looking for a place to worship, you don't have to be Jewish to come and worship with us. If you don't have a place, you're welcome to come worship with us. We meet Saturdays. You'll never have to wait in line at Shoney's or Cracker Barrel when you come worship with us, because there's only very few groups that get out at this time on a Saturday, okay? So anyway, sow in a land of famine and reap 100-fold, God says. Genesis 26. Please rise, I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. And I just want to say one other thing. Before you jump on me about politics, when I met with Jay Sekulow 10 years ago, before, this wasn't a political thing, okay? He wasn't working for the president. You know, he was a lawyer helping people, Christians fight for their legal rights, for their First Amendment rights and stuff. And this was not about impeachment or what's going on. So before anybody jumps on me about politics and whatever you like, if you like Trump or you don't like Trump, don't jump on my back. This was 10 years ago when I went on that tour, okay? So anyway, God bless you and Shabbat Shalom. Praise God.